in the 1960s, what was the Eagles Club, what was that like? What did that mean in Milwaukee?
It had been a place where top name entertainers came. I think Buddy Holly and the Big Bopper, and was Ritchie Valens in there, that several stops later were in the plane crash. They were there. I think the Beatles were there. That's what I remember from my childhood. When I came back from volunteering as a voting rights volunteer in rural Alabama in 1965, there were about eight of us from Milwaukee who volunteered in this Southern Christian Leadership Project. We were an integrated group, black and white. When I came back, several of us decided to join the NAACP Youth Council, which was the go-to organization, civil rights organization. People couldn't get problems solved anywhere else. They would come to the Youth Council and ask for help. At that time, the Youth Council was already involved in looking at the Eagles Club. And what I learned when I joined the Youth Council was that virtually every politician in Milwaukee belonged. All the judges, all the city council members. It was what we began to call a quasi-political organization. That is, when somebody would go to the club to work out, they'd leave their nomination papers at the desk. Or in other ways, the club would help them circulate nomination papers, which is a tremendous advantage if you want to run for office. Getting your name on the ballot takes a considerable amount of work. And it came to the Youth Council's attention because young African-Americans who were arrested would go before judges who belonged to the Eagles Club, and we began to question whether they could get a fair hearing before a judge who belonged to the Eagles Club. So at first, the Youth Council defined the issue as the whites-only clause in the Eagles Club National Constitution, and were having demonstrations in front of the Eagles Club, sometimes when African-American entertainers were scheduled to appear.
This was 1966. This is before the Fair Housing
March. This is 1966. If you look at the photographs that are available on the March on Milwaukee website, it's the winter, because people are wearing winter coats. As we moved into spring, some other civil rights leaders in Milwaukee suggested shifting the focus of the demonstrations from the membership clause itself to the membership of public officials in the Eagles Club. And that brought the issue closer to home. And we actually thought that there would be members of the Eagles Club, judges in particular, who would resign when we asked them to. There was one who did, but for the most part, the judges kept their membership. And they said they could be impartial on the bench, even though they belonged, and that they were working within the organization to change the whites-only clause, membership clause. We said, well, how long have you been working on this? What's the point at which you will say your interior method of proceeding isn't working? And so that summer, we began to picket at the homes of judges, for the most part, who belonged to the Eagles Club, one of whom was Judge Robert Cannon, who lived in Wauwatosa. The police were called. The demonstrations grew from a handful of people to a school bus full. And then people would meet us at the site and join the picket line. The police, the Wauwatosa police, did a good job of keeping order, but the governor, Warren Knowles, in consultation with local officials, it must have been decided that more law enforcement was needed. And so he called up the National Guard, and the National Guard troops walked or stood between us and the counter demonstrators. I worked in rural Alabama for 3 months, and I never saw any Ku Klux Klan people in their regalia. But in Wauwatosa in the summer of 1966, the Ku Klux Klan came in white robes and hoods.
And the protests really were about the fact that, well, at this point, they were about the fact that these judges were part of this organization that was explicitly racist.
Yes.
Explicitly.
Yes. And at that time, what people said, some supporters and some opponents, both, said, well, you can't challenge what a private club does. That's their right. And after the demonstrations that summer of 1966, the National Eagles Convention voted to retain the clause. So in one sense, you could say the demonstrations were not successful. A few judges resigned. The national organization didn't change its policy right then. But it's one of those interesting things that somehow a movement, an idea begins to take effect even when nobody is looking. There isn't a politician today who would belong to a club with an explicit whites-only clause.
Perhaps an implicit one, but...
Yeah, I mean, there are ways to keep people out and membership fees or needing a referral from a current member, all that kind of stuff can have that effect.
Well, and that's what happened with the Fraternal Order of the Eagles Club, at least from the digging that I've done. Although they did change their policy, there was a federal lawsuit in 1979 against the Milwaukee chapter of the Fraternal Order of the Eagles Club. And I'm not sure if you know anything about that case. Do you?
I don't.
I've been looking. Some of the documentation they think might be lost, but there was a case against the order in 1979, and not too long after that, essentially they argued that while they had on paper desegregated, they were still literally blackballing people out of the organization, in that they, from the little documentation I've been able to find, they had a number of applicants. You know, they accepted 1,000 applicants out of 1,003 people who applied, and the three who were denied were black. And many of the others didn't have to go through the whole rigmarole of the, you know, voting system. And it seemed that despite what the Fraternal Order of the Eagles was claiming, that everyone went through this process, it was being just applied to African-American applicants. And that was actually a lawsuit brought by the U.S. government against the Fraternal Order of the Eagles in Milwaukee.
It sounds very much like what voter registration was like in rural Alabama. You were supposed to pass a test, interpret a clause of the Alabama Constitution, but only African Americans were given the test. And the only person who could decide if you passed was the registrar. Yes. Between 1966 and 1986, the National Eagles Club did pass a resolution that made the whites-only clause a local option. And I'm not sure what the Milwaukee Club decided to do with that local option, but if you're saying they were taking applications, including applications for membership from African Americans, they must have agreed to the local option.
It was surprising in going over the history of the Fraternal Order of the Eagles just how deep its roots were in not just local politics, but national politics. John F. Kennedy was a member of the Eagles.
Was that right?
Yeah. A number of presidents were members of this specific club. When it comes to politics, specifically in Milwaukee, what was the scale? So, I mean, you said a lot of the judges, but was the mayor, was it the deputy mayor, was it the police? Because that's also concerning.
I don't know about the police. And I know we used to say that virtually every politician in Milwaukee belonged, including Congress people. I think Clement Zablocki belonged. That mid-20th century, maybe earlier than that even, was a time where fraternal organizations were dominant institutions, social institutions. The place on Wisconsin Avenue where Northwestern Mutual Insurance Company now is, I remember being the Elks Club, which was torn down. And those fraternal organizations seem to largely have faded, maybe because of the restrictive clauses and the bad name that gave them. And in an area where civil rights were on the rise, I remember I took a plane somewhere. I don't know anymore where I was going, but it was in this period where we were protesting at the Eagles Club. And Danny Thomas was on the plane because he had been at the Eagles Club, and maybe they had had a meeting of some sort in Milwaukee. Anyway, he was flying out of Milwaukee, and he got up in the plane and was telling jokes and was entertaining people. And I can remember kind of hunkering down in my seat thinking, you were just at the Eagles Club. Nothing you say is funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was very widespread. And, you know, sometimes people say, well, nothing's changed. We're the same where we are in racial relations as we've always been. And I think that paints with too broad a brush. Because if you look at policy matters, you can see that there were times when policies changed and then something changed in the conditions that people were living in and with, and things did get better. And it's true about the poor people's, the war on poverty, I mean, the war on poverty during Lyndon Johnson's era had a lot of problems, but poverty in this country decreased. You know, things did get better. And yeah, I think you have to do that kind of specific policy analysis to see when were things better and why were they better then. And the long-range effect of the demonstrations at the Eagles Club in Milwaukee and at private clubs elsewhere in the country, golf clubs were subject to people demonstrating for one reason or another, women not being allowed in. The growth of that idea of explicit exclusivity is not a healthy social policy grew. And if you cling to those outdated and unfair, unequal, racially unjust ideas, well, if you look at the example of the Eagles Club, you find yourself gone. You do yourself out of existence.
When you look at what is now called the Rave or the Eagles Ballroom, when you look at it now, what do you think? How do you see it?
I see a picket line walking in front of the building, and I see people that I still know as their younger selves walking on that picket line. Those ghosts don't go away. There's an interesting story that Molly, is it Snyder, who writes for onmilwaukee.com, did a story about the Eagles Club and included information, a story that I had never heard, actually, about people believing the Eagles Club is haunted.
Yeah, apparently a lot of people believe it's haunted.
Yes. Well, I guess the ghosts that I see there are different from the ghosts that other people might think are there. But where did that idea come from?
Apparently someone drowned in the pool. Yeah, I think that was it. Someone drowned in the pool. I was actually, for this story, I called the folks over at the Milwaukee Historical Society and the Milwaukee County Historical Society. And that was like the first thing they said. They're like, are you calling about the ghosts? Is that what you're calling about? I was like, no, but go into that for a moment. Yeah, I think they believe someone drowned there, and so people
Well, I would like to think that the Eagles Club would be remembered as a bastion of negative social policy that had to change and did. And if I were to talk about ghosts there, I would not only talk about the young people who demonstrated to change that policy, but I would think that it was racism that haunted that building. It's interesting when I give talks today about Milwaukee civil rights, and I want to talk about that portion of the civil rights activity, I begin by asking, who knows where the rave is? And almost everybody raises their hand, and then that used to be the Eagles Club. They had a whites-only clause, and there's this audible gasp through the room.
Yeah, how many people do you think know that history when they walk into that building, walk into that space?
Probably not many. What we've focused on in terms of having Milwaukee civil rights history better known has been the open housing marches, probably because there was a resolution in that case, and even if the law is sometimes or oftentimes ignored, still there is that ability to call upon it as a way of redressing injustices that are done. And that passage of fair housing also spurred a larger movement. There's now a National Fair Housing Alliance who do amazing research and keep up with what is going on and push back on some of the policies of Ben Carson's Housing and Urban Development Department. So there are lots of reasons why that's what we chose to focus on. That history was also in danger of being forgotten. So I really welcome the opportunity to have a broader understanding of the multiple civil rights battles that Milwaukee has faced and contributed to nationally.
Even the ones that maybe didn't end so cleanly.
Yes.